Episode 136.
That's another thing that I find a lot. People tend to worry about things that are out of their control. They worry about the dealership down the road or the guy down the road who's cheaper than they are. And I teach and preach that that's about, you know, that's because you're too worried about other people. Focus on what you can do well. Focus on those phone calls. Focus on understanding your what margin you need and what's your differentiator.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to On Point from Remarkable Results Radio and a special interview from an auto care industry professional.
On Point. On Point.
Hello, aftermarketers throughout North America and around the world. Carm Capriotto here. Hey, how you doing? I've been known to do second interviews with my podcast alumni, and you are in for another exciting round with Dave Erb right here in episode 136. This episode is brought to you by Federal Mogul Motor Parts and Garage Gurus for serious technical training and support online, on site, and also on demand. Garage Gurus is everything you need to know. Hey, find out more. Go to fmgarageGurus.com. Hey, I've got an idea for you. Grab your favorite lunch and mosey up to your favorite smartphone, tablet, or laptop and listen to an episode you've been wanting to catch. Grab your partner, wife, supervisor, or anyone you feel would enjoy and benefit from listening. The content is strong, evergreen, and on demand. Be the purveyor and pay it forward. Make it your goal to share the knowledge. And don't forget, listen to learn just one thing. Now meet Dave Erb, round two. This is a completely different interview than his first episode, 103. Dave's first love is marketing, and it's his passion. Having sold his service business, he is now working to help grow sales and drive new business to your door. Dave gives up a lot of information. He talks about how to get your website to stay on top of Google search, why mobile-friendly is so, so important. He has a great story on Yelp, and how new customer acquisition strategies is all about getting the customer to feel you want them. He is very outspoken on recording outbound and inbound calls. He'll also give you a great analogy comparing the best steak dinner from Ruth Chris's to your company. Well, my mouth is watering. And he also talks about what his favorite loyalty program is. He also tells you what he's doing today that perfectly aligns with his passion for marketing. He says there is life after you sell your business. And he's really enjoying helping other shop owners. Enjoy. Here we go. Hey, excited to be with Dave Erb for the second time from Higher Frederick. Hey, Dave, you ready to go On Point?
I am ready and able to help.
All right, baby. Hey, as a former shop owner, you brought some value to the podcast in episode 103 a little while back. And now you're off being an entrepreneur and working for a company called Higher Frederick. Maybe we'll cover that in a little while. But you've always been a master and very passionate person for marketing. So I want to make sure that today we leave some real good stuff on the table for our listeners.
Absolutely. Yeah. Marketing is within the industry. Marketing has always been what I've gravitated toward and always been my passion. And I love to help shops in any way I can. I get to talk to a lot of shops for various reasons, relationships through ATI and of course, talking about Frederick. And it always leads to much, much more on that end. And trying to help people understand, you know, how marketing works on the acquisition side and retention and what can drive things to be more powerful within what they're already doing. So, yeah, whatever I can lend.
You know, I figured I'd look up the definition of marketing, and there's only like 5 million of them out there. But yep. I got mm-hmm. one from the Wharton School, University of Pennsylvania, great, highly respected business school. And they say marketing is the process of anticipating, managing, and satisfying the demand for products, services, and ideas. Wow, how nice, short, sweet, and simple.
Pretty much to the point, yep.
So, marketing, big today, websites. Oh,
yep.
My God.
Huge.
You say the word Google, you think websites, and you think everybody's out to sell you AdWords and be sure you show up somewhere. There's all things like Yelp, and I know you have an opinion about Yelp. We should talk about that, okay?
Absolutely, we'll get into that as well.
Let's talk about webs.
Well, there's a lot of things we could talk about there. I think the one thing I run across a lot when it comes to website is people don't really understand the tool to a degree. There's several sides of it. A lot of what's the content within the website they think is what people need to see. And it's really what Google needs to see, right? So, you know, depth in pages and Google needs to say, okay, this website is about X, right? And you can think of websites in a lot of ways as being, the best ones that come up to the top are almost like you have a doctor. If you're going to go to a doctor and you want to talk to a doctor about something like preeclampsia or something to do with birth, right? You want somebody who's been around a long time, but they keep up on the latest technology and latest processes and all that, right? So when it comes to Google looking at automotive repair shop, you know, specifically, it wants to see it's been around a long time and that everything within that website tells Google that they're fresh and up to date and they keep relevant on today's topics and that this is what somebody wants to come across. This is the one they want to find. So to make a website stay at the top of Google, you have to constantly refresh it. You have to constantly have contact and blog and links and all these things that really only matter to Google. When it comes to the person side of things, a website can be a lot of things. It can be, you know, when someone's coming back to it, you know, just to find a phone number because they already know you, or more likely it's somebody that doesn't know or know you exist. And we are in a need now industry, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a quick question because you got me thinking. If I wrote blogs once a month and I posted a blog to my website, is that going to help my Google placement?
It's one of the things that helps the boat float, I would say. So, you know, you're talking about in Google, there's really only, you know, three places to be. You can buy AdWords at the top, and that's changed drastically. They're filtering that down to just about three ad places at the top. They've gotten rid of the column on the side. Mm-hmm. You've got the local result, which is very powerful and popular, being one of the two or three in the map right there. Yeah. And then you've got the organic. And heat mapping and all these different studies show that if you're not like top one, two, or three organically or in the map, you really just might as well be on the second page, right? So it's very important. So all these components go into lifting that boat or getting you that top placement. Length, how long you've had the website, content. Is it mobile ready and fresh? Is it, you know, blogs and links and all these other things?
Mobile
right?
ready. You just said one of the biggest things. I saw a survey that said that mobile overtook desktop.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I can tell you my website last year for the first time had more mobile clicks on it than it did desktops. And it's gone from, you know, instead of being a mobile or a PC type, it now it's what they call responsive, which means it sizes itself to whatever device, you know, whether it's a tablet or, you know, whatever size the phone is, it sizes it properly and organizes it properly automatically. So it's not either or, it's just one website that knows how to organize itself. And that's the technology that Google likes because that's the latest and freshest and all that kind of stuff.
For our listener, you know, and we could say that mobile has overtaken desktop, and you just said a million things here. You just said a pound of great information. That is, your website has to be mobile responsive. And if our service professional who's listening to us hasn't done that.
Right. No, there's a lot of them out there that really haven't. They think of it as like, okay, I built a website 5 years ago and it's fine. It looks good. That's good enough. And that's not good enough if you want to stay on top and stay relevant. And the other thing I come across with websites is that, you know, people, once again, they think it's about the people. And, it's, you know, once again, a lot of the content, a lot of the pages that are second, third and fourth pages, landing pages are about telling a story of what you work on and what you do. So Google can see that and offer up the relevant result as people searches auto repair in your area or Audi repair or whatever it might be that you want to be known for. But when it comes to the people side of it, there's really only a few things. It's got to capture their attention and say, this is the place I have to call. And it should tell them easily where the phone number is and what the address is and maybe have a map right there and some stuff to drive reviews, you know, to show them who you are, what you do, and that this is the only place I should call. And that's just front page stuff, really. I mean, you know, what's the story? What's going to grab their attention? It's got to, you know, it's got to draw them in and say, I have to call this place. And that could be a look or a feel or words or whatever. But it's not about the third and fourth page or educating them on, you know, a maintenance repair. That's all shop stuff. That's after the phone call happens.
Yeah. You've always counted on Moog to keep you ahead of the pack when it comes to chassis innovation. Well, they've done it again. Most recently launched is the Moog ball joint with a pre-installed integral dust boot. It's designed exclusively for compression-loaded suspension systems, providing superior strength and durability for these types of vehicle applications. The dust boot is made from higher-strength materials and comes pre-installed, saving you time because it's easier to install. It also has a larger contact area against the stud, which makes a more effective seal. For your customers, the unit uses Moog's powdered metal gusher bearing that provides longer life and controlled radial and axial movement. You get the industry's leading coverage of 10,000 SKUs, including 4,600 for foreign applications. Hey, you've been installing Moog confidently for years, and now you know why. But you're saying smart. I keep thinking smart search. So if I lived in Elm Grove, New York, and somebody just moved into town and they needed to fix their car, would they look for Elm Grove Auto Repair, even though my place may be called Carm's Automotive?
Absolutely, yeah. Because they don't know you. That's the three pieces to marketing, right? For someone to consider buying something for you, they have to know you exist. And if somebody in our business especially, we're a need now business. So it, you know, if someone's Googling auto repair, whatever city, and I don't, you know, people talk about, you know, people Googling zip codes. I haven't seen habits like that. I've seen more research that indicates people will search, you know, either like a specific problem like check engine light, you know, Grome, Elv, Illinois, or auto repair, really generic kind of stuff. So you have to, you know, be known as that and be in there. And now there's a lot of stuff that goes in that too. So, you know, even if you're targeting Austin, Texas, if Google doesn't look at you and say that person's in the center of Austin, Texas, you can lose ranking points to somebody who's more in the middle because you're searching Austin, Texas, right? So there's, I mean, we could go on and on about that. But, you know, when it comes to marketing, especially in our business, once again, need now. You know, if someone's on Google, they need it now. You know, that's why I say that traditional marketing really doesn't work that well when it comes to coupon pieces. You know, someone's not sitting at home going, man, if a coupon just showed up on my doorstep, I'd go get my car fixed. That's not, you know, that's why that stuff has such a low, you know, rate of return. It's be in front of someone when they have a need and make sure you're the only person they can call. You know, that your website, your presence, your reviews, when someone Googles your name after they find out you exist, you should represent across all mediums, you know, Yelp and Google and everything all should match and say a story that this is, you know, great reputation. This is the place I must call.
And you got to manage that reputation, don't you?
Absolutely, yes.
So let's talk about Yelp.
Okay. Well, so, you know, my personal story for a long time, Yelp was something that I kind of fought against. I wanted to control it. I wanted to populate reviews and drive, you know, good reviews so I look good on Yelp, but I didn't want to, you know, want to advertise on Yelp. Yelp is kind of known as a little bit like the mafia of the internet, right? They'll if you don't pay them money, it's, you know, they won't ever say this, and I don't know how true it is, but it seems like the good reviews don't stick as well, and the bad ones kind of fall off, and I mean, stay there, and they do show other people's ads, you know, on your site. So if you don't pay, you know, Yelp, and then someone comes in and looks at you, they'll have other ads on there that says, oh, you know, have you tried these people? They're 5 stars and you're only showing 3.5 or whatever. So they'll advertise other shops on your page unless you pay them to take them off. So for a bunch of years, I struggled with that. Really couldn't grow the stars there, the reputation, or get the good, you know, happy people to stick, because the problem is that Yelp, if you're someone that goes on and writes a review and it's the only review you ever write, they don't look at you as being a real Yelper, a real person. If you're a Yelper, you go on and you have friends that are on Yelp and you do a lot of Yelps and you're kind of this legitimate Yelper. So identifying someone who walks through your door that is a Yelper is part of the problem, right? So I created a program that works really, really well, and I'm willing to share it and anybody can use it, you know, rip off and duplicate all you want. But what I did was I said, okay, the hardest part is identifying Yelpers. So I paid Yelp a little bit of money, got rid of the ads, and I was able to create an offer, and my offer is 20% off first time visit, up to $100, and your next oil change free, because I wanted 2 bites at the apple. I wanted to see that customer a couple of times at least, right? So likely that they're not going to need an oil change on that first visit. Maybe it's a check engine light or some other repair, and you schedule that oil change. So I get 2 bites at the apple, and I made that offer. When you click on an offer, it goes to a page in my website that can only be gotten to by that link. You can't come across it. You can't accidentally find it on my website. And it has a form they have to fill out that tells my managers these people came from Yelp. Plus, it's the only offer that applies to Yelp, right? So now I've identified the Yelper. I've given them a great offer and a reason to come in. We're hypersensitive that they're Yelpers. We do a great job with them. We get up the second bite of the apple with the free oil change. And then Frederick comes along and asks them if they're happy. And if they're happy, we say, great. Frederick goes, hey, do us a favor. Do us a Yelp review, right? So we link the two together, and I've been able to grow my reputation on Yelp from about 3.5 stars a year ago with about 20 at each shop, 20 Yelps, to over 120 at each shop, 4.5 stars, looking awesome. And it's been a great acquisition tool, not only from a standpoint of getting customers through Yelp, but when people go Google my name, once they know, they, you know, once they become aware of Dave's, Because I still do all the marketing for all the Daves. Once they become aware of Daves and they Google Daves, that, you know, that second level person that just doesn't pick up the phone and call, then they see, you know, that we're very strong across Yelp and Google and other review sites as well.
Okay, so you figured out Yelp and obviously very smartly. What other sites out there do you have to worry about?
Well, you know, it used to be Google Plus up until recently, and that's that because they tried to get in the kind of the Facebook type game and really didn't succeed in the way they wanted. So they've been changing that, and of course, Google's always changing. So Google reviews don't pop up on front page as much as they used to, unless you type in like looking for someone's reviews or Google. Anything to do with Google, they love themselves. So getting Google reviews is relevant to getting better, SEO and better results, you know, and that kind of thing. So, especially YouTube, you know, Google owns YouTube. So if you do YouTube videos and you tag them properly, that helps your results as far as, and the funny thing, not to jump too far forward, all this is great stuff. And a lot of people do a great job being on the internet and, you know, applying tools like this and understand that the thing they always leave out is they feel like marketing creates someone to walk through the door, makes someone walk through the door. And that's just not true. All marketing does is create an opportunity, period. And that's a phone call. And people don't pay attention enough to what happens with that phone call. That is the biggest part of your marketing toolbox, and it's the least one to pay attention to. They don't record. They don't have scripts. They don't have, you know, all these kind of things, right?
And that's why the call recording and the script is becoming so important today, because you are investing, but when that ring comes in, or even that person walks in and says, hey, I caught you off the internet, they got to go into the right mode in order to secure that business and trying to create a lifetime customer.
That's exactly right. So that's the kind of the piece. You've got acquisition, and people do all this, you know, pay-per-click stuff. You spend all this money to create that opportunity, and they don't capture it. They don't train their people as to what, even how to answer the phone and how to invite them in. Just as simple as say yes, you know, and not talk yourself out of business. You know, people call and you say too much to them and you put them away. You don't actually ever answer their question. You know, I find it much more simple to just say, yes, we can take care of you. When would you like to come in? You know, and just make it that simple, today or tomorrow, you know, it will get you taken care of. We're the shop you need to come to, you know, however you get that across verbally to a customer, that they feel that on the other end of the phone, they feel you want them. And you're not just saying, I'm too busy, I'm blowing you off, you know, or, you know, stock standard, template answers that don't feel right coming across. You know what I'm saying?
I do. Yeah. And so business is getting more sophisticated than anyone ever imagined today. And I guess as business owners move away from working in their business to on their business, this must be one of the areas that they, even if they may not be good at it, can get the training to help them manage it.
Oh, yeah. There's bunches of good training out there. You know, I work with ATI closely, but I'm not just, you know, hawking businesses here. Yeah. There's lots. Yeah. I recommend seek out that training. Seek out that, you know, whatever it takes to record conversations. You know, obviously now with the internet, we have voice over IP, and there's a lot of great products out there that you can record inbound and outbound calls. So you can record what's happening when the phone's ringing, and it's a new customer acquisition that failed, and why did it fail? And you can put together, you know, obviously teaching points within that. But what happens when you call out to somebody and you're trying to sell them something? Right?
I'm talking with Jonathan Ciccelli, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. So, Jonathan, how does a service professional get the guru on the go van to their shop?
There's a couple ways. We do what we call cold calls, where we go around and just visit shops based on geographics. And there's also times where we team up with outside sales reps from other parts distributors and visit the shops on that basis.
So I love this. You pull into a shop on a cold call, they see the van, and they're probably excited to see you.
Yeah. I've had a couple shops where they've actually have already heard of the gurus via Facebook or social media. So when I show up, they've already been signed up and taken online classes, and now that the van's there, it's really easy to book a lunch and learn.
So you're really an extension of the Garage Guru training centers.
Yes, absolutely.
So you're all done with your lunch and learn. You spend 45 minutes to an hour. Probably that's all you can really get from a busy, busy shop. What are the technicians saying about your shop visit?
Oh, they love it. They thank me, you know, every second I'm walking out the door and just can't wait for me to come back again.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com. All right, I get it. Yeah. So the lesson in marketing, it creates an opportunity, as you said. You know, do enough businesses focus on capturing the right profitable opportunity to bring into the bays?
Well, that's another thing that I find a lot. People tend to worry about things that are out of their control. They worry about the dealership down the road or the guy down the road who's cheaper than they are. And I teach and preach that that's about, you know, that's because you're too worried about other people. Focus on what you can do well. Focus on those phone calls. Focus on understanding your what margin you need and what's your differentiator. What person are you attracting? What customer are you going after that is not their customer? And then how many of those customers do you need to run your business, and then go after and get those customers and treat them great and give them great value and better warranties and better services. And it's okay with whatever you charge as long as they, you know, they love you, right? It's all about them loving you and loving the service. It's like going to a great steakhouse. You know, you can go to HEB or whatever supermarket and buy a steak and cook it for X dollars, but you're going to go get a great service experience and you're okay paying that money. And people are too scared to charge the right amount of money and provide that service that's worth the value of what you're charging.
You know, that's a great analogy. When you look at what you said for your labor rate and your services, think about the best steak you ever had, no matter right. if it was local or national, big, beautiful chain like Ruth Chris's or Morton's.
Exactly.
Well, you got me salivating here right now. And I guess if you say, listen, if I'm willing to pay $45 for this meal a la carte,
right.
is
exactly.
my customer willing to pay me X amount for the experience that I gave him? Not only the quality exactly. of the food, the quality of the workmanship. It's a great analogy to face in your mind every time get afraid about charging.
And I'll take it to another step. People forget about a couple of things like, what is my business? I mean, what is my building or my parking lot marketing, right? Am I putting out there on Google that I want to work on Mercedes and I can do that competently, but I got a 74 Chevy pickup truck and an AMC Gremlin sitting in my parking lot? Are they walking in the
right.
door and smelling things they shouldn't smell or see things they shouldn't see? Or, you know, do I have flat screen monitors that represent that I keep up with today's technology? Or do I have TVs, flat screen TVs on the wall telling people why I'm different? Mm-hmm. Are my people dressed properly to match the marketing message I'm putting out there? All that. Yeah, you know, it's almost like when you walk into a place and you feel invited in a restaurant that's your favorite restaurant that is your that somehow is better than anything else out there. You know, it's the ambiance. Yeah, the awe factor.
I get it though. I mean, you know, Friday nights we go out with the gang and we go to local establishments. And you walk into a bar and a grill that's got great food, and you know you're not going to pay $45 for a steak because of the ambiance. And
exactly.
I guess you have to think that about your shop. If you walk in, what do people expect to pay based on what they see and what they feel?
Right. And it's a great exercise to have somebody, a friend or anybody, come in and look at around your shop and point things out. Because as an owner or manager, you walk in, you may step over the same core part sitting on the floor every day, and it becomes, you know, nothing to you, but it says something. It really does, you know. So getting fresh eyes on a business, a parking lot, a building, always a good thing.
Years ago I created that, an internal and an external view of a shop. Very simple. And, you know, the whole thing was about, the concept was about, I'll buy the first gallon of paint. Because we've identified things that were wrong, and that, you know, way back I was just trying to get the shop owner to, yeah, I got to do this, and you're right. Call to action. You were talking about creating this Yelp connection, and what other kind of calls to action could I have on my website to get people to come in?
Well, it depends on how you're set up. And obviously, if you're going to be a coupon kind of guy where you're going to offer a lot of different specials or a first-time customer special and then pull that in and have a retention program like a VIP or loyalty program, you just, you know, calls to action are obviously, you know, seasonal can be some good stuff. Obviously, the big driver for shops today are being reactive shops is maintenance, right? So some maintenance drivers and when people are ready for the 30 or 60 or 90. All those are good. You just have to understand your margins and make sure you're compensating for, once again, in my opinion, it doesn't matter what you charge, right? If you need to give 20% off to X to bring a customer in and you show them the value and the love, the better warranty, the better people, the better service, the shuttle, blah, 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 blah. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what that dollar was at the end to them and to you. You need to understand your margins and keep those margins to run your business. So I'd just say that whatever it is, make sure it's better and different than anybody else in the area.
Your favorite loyalty program?
Well, I built my own, and there's some, I said to myself, what do I want out of customers? I wanted money and visits and referrals. So I kind of built a three level, one that, that people can earn by referring people and doing reviews and this kind of thing. I hear really good things about, royalty rewards from people out there. And I haven't used them personally, but I know some people that, you know, some of the groups and committees I sit on, there's shops that use them and love them. The best, I've gone through all the retention programs over the years. I started out in MechanicNet. I went through Demand Force, and now I'm with, Frederick, which is a company I'm working with actually to help develop, and make the automotive side the best thing I've ever seen. And Frederick is different.
Is it a CRM?
It is a CRM. It's not only a CRM, it's actually, it can be used and is used to help grow a new customer acquisition through an unbelievable referral program, an automated referral program. And our reputation piece, which is unbelievable in my opinion, it's the best thing I've ever seen. And we use the Net Promoter Score in Frederick, and instead of asking 10 questions and all this stuff, we simply say, you know, how likely would you get to refer a friend? And we do it over text as well. So it's, you know, all of our stuff can be done over text, which is much more powerful. And we simply say, you know, 1 out of 10, if someone scores you a 9 or 10, then Frederick automatically asks for the review and then automatically asks them to copy and paste it to Yelp and Google and gives them the links to do it. If they do below an 8, we just ask for feedback and don't even show them the review link. So we identify happy customers, drive them to do those reviews. And if they're not happy, we just get good internal feedback. Frederick's really neat because it's unlike Demand Force or any of the other ones out there. I'm not harping on Demand Force. I'm just trying to state the difference. Yeah. Frederick is very intelligent in what we do. We're very dynamic. We don't just send out the same communication time and time again. Frederick learns. It bases on what the customer's reaction to our communication is will dictate what can happen next. And shops can even put in some rules, some real quick rules within Frederick that says, okay, if someone gives us a review feedback, then don't survey them again for a year or 6 months or 3 months. Don't survey them every visit, right? So one of the big complaints is people get communicated too much with, you know, and it's not powerful. So we identify, you know, what people like. Frederick will even change automatically frequency of the email or text, as well as, sublines, and it'll test all the different subject lines. It'll test promotion size and filter down to what works best for your customers.
And you just said filter, you know, what if then this or what if then that?
Exactly, yes.
And is that driven by the shop owner or is this a big algorithm that sits inside of Frederick?
That's the deal. Frederick is this huge algorithm that has hierarchy and intelligence behind it. So just for an example, if a customer comes in, you sell them a bunch of work and you do a bunch of declined work. Since declined work is very, it's fresh, it's new, and it can make you a lot of money if you can get that declined work back in quickly. You can tell Frederick how soon to offer up this declined work with a small promotion, a discount to come back and get the declined work done. And Frederick will say, okay, this customer has declined work, we'll offer that up first. But if they don't have any declined work, then the very first thing they can even get from Frederick as far as bringing them back in is a simple reminder with no promotion. It's say, hey, it's time to come in again. A customer can even say, you know, they can set their own reminder. So in other words, they get the reminder after 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 miles, whatever the shop sets it at. And you can say, I'm not ready now, but remind me in a week or 2 weeks or a month. And Frederick will send them another reminder whenever they say to. And because they have a reminder set, they won't receive any other promotions because they know Frederick knows they're going to come in on their own. So it's a very hierarchy based, very intelligence based CRM product that works very well. It's very slick. It's very simple. And people seem to respond to it at a much higher rate than anything else.
So you're working with them since you sold your business. Are you responsible for getting some of this software out? I mean, are you doing things with it?
Well, my responsibility are twofold. One is to help them design and build based on my years of experience. So, because I've been doing CRM stuff with these various companies for, you know, 12, 14 years. Basically, what my frustrations have been over the years and what other shops have been to build this so those frustrations aren't there, to build in this intelligence, also build in some maintenance features that are unlike anything out there. Because you and I both know the OE recommended maintenance schedule is designed to get you into another car as fast as possible. When in shops, you need to have your own philosophy. So you're going to be able to easily plug in your philosophy, and Frederick will help you identify those people that came in and had a 30K maintenance done or transflush and remind them again at your philosophy and identify people that have come over this threshold of mileage that are due for these kind of things.
Yeah, but other systems do that.
Not in this way. Not in this way. So there's a, you know, within your management systems, you can build these kind of canned things, and you can run reports on people that haven't done this. Frederick will do this automatically, pick up them all automatically, and do it with or without a discount, depending on how you want that setting done.
So while you're sleeping at night, this thing is working for you.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's cool. It really is. I mean, I'm so excited to be a part of it. It is. I'm so excited how well it's going to help the automotive industry.
How do I get a demo?
Demo, you go to hirefrederick.com and request a demo anytime. I can do a demo for you. I mean, for you personally, I'll do a demo for you. No problem.
All right. I may want one.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
In one of those, one of those days I'm kicking up with my feet up, nothing to do, I may just call you.
Yeah.
You've always been a fan. I've always heard you say this now since I've known you. Rip off and duplicate, R&D.
Yep.
What's your R&D. Favorite R&D that you've taken and done great things with?
Oh my gosh, that's a good question. So some of the things hanging in the shops that I'm proud to say I've created a lot of things that other people have ripped off and duplicated, and then you know, some sayings and, yeah, and some, you know, Yelp things or whatever. Yeah. And the things that I've ripped off and duplicated. Let's see. But I would say that there's one thing hanging in my shop that says basically, and it just struck me as the coolest thing and the easiest thing to say. And it pretty much says, and I ripped this off from a buddy of mine named Lee. It pretty much says, it's pretty simple to Dave. Do the best work, hire the best people, keep up on today's technology, and take care of your customers, and all is good. And that's kind of what it's kind of our philosophy sheet within our in my shop there. And it just that just spoke to me. Like, you know, it's like hitting me over the head with a hammer. Kind
well,
of
it, it's your purpose.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. Yeah.
And you borrowed it from someone. I mean, you're a creator, man, but you had to borrow that from somebody.
Yeah, I borrowed that. But, you know, once again, you know, it's kind of cool. You get involved with 20 groups, yeah, and you pass around these ideas, yeah, and you see something on a wall and you go, I'm stealing that, you know, so.
You don't have to be the genius to sit down and says, my God, if I don't come up with this most unique purpose and rally the troops, you know, I'm nothing. And
exactly.
The truth is that find something that works, modify it, and make it your own. I've said this before on the podcast. It was Jack Welch wrote a great book, and he said, there's no great idea invented anymore. You need to just go steal shamelessly
exactly.
an idea from someone else and make it your own. Modify it, make it your own. Hey, well, this went fast, and I believe you gave us a lot of great stuff to think about, Dave. You're so passionate for marketing and all the things that you're doing, and having been a successful shop owner, and now you're watching your shops, and you're working with Hire Frederick.
Yep.
Well, the next time that you have, you know, you're out there, you're seeing shops, you're still hanging out with your friends, the next group of a couple of things you want to talk about, you always have a place here on the podcast.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, next time I get a hot topic, I'll reach out and we'll do it again.
Let's do it again. Hey, thanks, man.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, guys and gals, thanks so much for listening. Find additional show notes and special links related to Dave Erb and Hire Frederick on the show's episodes page on Remarkable Results Radio. And that's also the place where you can subscribe to be an insider and get the pulse on every new episode release, industry links, and resources. I loved interviewing Dave. He's got such a great way with words, and he's exciting to listen to. I really do appreciate your engagement with the podcast. And hey, I can't thank you enough. And I would ask that you help spread the word. Uniting our industry for continual improvements is a goal. And man, I am grateful for your support. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.